Yeah, this sets the mood beautifully. You can't hear the song and not be creeped out. It's impossible. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And in studio with us right now is Tom Payne, who plays Jesus on The Walking Dead. And, Tom, I need to apologize to you. You're from England. You're not used to weather like this. So this is I'm sure this is very foreign to you, this rainy
this
weather.
This is perfect. This is very I'm living in California actually now. But this actually feels a lot like
home. Does it feel like home? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you feel you have a lot to live up to play the part of Jesus? I know it's not really Jesus.
I mean, he's his own man. Like, he has his own thing. I mean, let's hear it for manners, like you were talking about earlier on.
Oh, my God, very that's nice. So funny. It's like, drop him, please.
No, he remembers things. He remembers how you should treat people. It's, you know, there's a thing that comes along with the show. The show has a certain thing that you're like, wow, okay, I have to respect that this is such a huge thing that I'm involved in and give it the respect that it deserves. It's a bizarre change in my life to be walking down the street and have people go, oh, it's Jesus, oh my God, it's Jesus. Which is hilarious. Like, never in my wildest dreams did I imagine that would happen. And I can't get away with it because I have the long hair and the beard. And even if you don't watch the show, you might tell me that I look like Jesus. So I can't, you know, it's an ongoing thing in my life now.
So when you're in a city that isn't Los Angeles, because in Los Angeles, they're used to seeing their favorite TV and movie stars all the time. But when you're in a city like this and you're walking down a street, it's got to be jarring for people to have seen you on TV last night and there you are.
Yeah, it's been a bit strange because I've lived in California for about 7 years now. And I've never been really recognized in America, like maybe once or twice for a movie I've done or something. And so that was a big change in my life, actually, to have that, to have people recognize me and call out my name in the street. And not just Jesus, actually. People that watch the show know the actors' names, which sometimes, you know, doesn't happen. You just get called by your character name. So that was a bit life change for me of like, oh, okay, people in America are going to know who I am now, and that's going to be a bit weird. And it's definitely, I spoke to the other actors, and it's like, it's worse. I mean, it's more frequent around the show when it's airing. But when the show's not airing, it dies down a little bit. But as I said, I'm pretty recognizable. So, I mean, this is my life for as long as they want me on the show, I guess.
Is the beard and the long hair that wasn't grown just to be Jesus?
I mean, it was grown.
It was.
Just to be Jesus. Yeah, because.
And now you're digging it.
Well, you know, it's just such a pain to have the old. Like, I had a bunch of extensions the first year and a fake beard. And, you know, you
really?
Can't really move your face in the right way. And someone's always coming in and touching up the glue. And, you know, you're trying to, like, pretend to be someone. And then every 5 minutes, someone's coming in and reminding you you've got something glued to your face. So, and also, it's just. You just have to arrive earlier in the morning and leave later in the afternoon. But it's testament to the vision and the casting process that they have because, I mean, I had short hair and zero beard. And they write these scenes which are completely separate from the show, completely different character name and everything, and you don't even know what you're auditioning for. And I think they just know exactly what they want and they do a good job. And you have a little bit of background on the character, but not enough. So you really have to fall back on what comes naturally to you in how kind of you would do the scene. And I think that's how they managed to cast so well, because you can't help but be natural in the scene. And so it pulls out of you, you know, your qualities. And they just write those scenes with those qualities in mind that they need. And the casting department do an amazing job, and the scriptwriters, every single person that joins the show. Even so, Kari, who plays Ezekiel, is younger than he is in the comic books. In the comic books, he's like at least in his 50s. And Kari gets cast, and you go, oh, well, he's a bit younger. But then he turns up, and you go, oh, he's absolutely perfect.
Perfect.
Like, fits in amazingly. You know, I'm about a foot shorter than Jesus in the comic books. But I think my sensibility fits the character. And they just do a great, great job with that. Yeah.
Since you brought up casting, let's talk about the British connection. There are a lot of actors on Walking Dead that are British actors playing Americans.
There are a few, and there have been in the past. David Morrissey played the governor. It was British. Andrew, obviously, is British. Andrew and I come from the same city in England, actually.
In Essex? Is that where you're from?
Bath. I was born in Essex and then grew up in the Southwest. And I'd worked with Andy before, so we knew each other.
How have you mastered the accent?
Well, like I said, I've lived in California for 7 years, so I'm surrounded by it. And also, to make my life a little bit easier, sometimes I do slip into an American accent because I hate being misunderstood. So when I'm, like, grocery shopping or ordering a drink in a bar, like, I'll use my American accent just because it makes my life easier, and I hate repeating myself. So I'm used to that. But we have an accent coach as well who helps us. So then we have Lauren, Lenny James, who plays Morgan, and Denai, actually. Denai grew up in Zimbabwe.
Oh.
And was like educated in the British school system in Zimbabwe. So she has a kind of interesting hybrid accent as well. But yeah, I guess there are and have been a few Brits in the show.
Is there a word or phrase that you've had a hard time with making it sound American that the coaches had to say, we say it this way here, not that way?
There are certain... There was one thing last year. Oh, schedule and schedule.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one. There's just a couple that you have to just check sometimes. Like, I know how to say it properly, but oh, maybe not in American. Okay, all right, I need to go over that. There's a few words like that, vitamin and vitamin and,
oh, yeah.
and all those kinds of little changes. And but also a lot of it's to do with rhythm of speech and cadence and how the dialogue flows. Like, if I go back to England, the way that I just said that, if I go back to England, I won't say, if I was in... If I was saying that in British, I'd be like, I can't even remember now. Like, if I go back to England, so my British friends will pick me up immediately. Like, you know, you're going up at the end of your sentences.
Right.
You're not American. And you just can't help it because you do it to be understood. Even when I'm using my British accent in America,
yeah.
I will slip into American rhythm just because it's just easier.
Sure.
And people, you know,
yeah.
I want to be liked.
I do hate the repeating myself, though. At some point, you're just like, oh, forget
yeah,
it. You
yeah,
know?
It's annoying.
Talking about the comic book, you brought that up. My son Dylan is now 14. He was 10 when he said, you got to watch The Walking Dead. I'm like, really? I don't have time for zombies. It's more about zombies than just zombies, Mom. It's about relationships and survival.
Right.
And so we watch it as a family on Sunday nights. There's no talking. If someone talks, they get yelled at, and then we reverse it a little bit.
That's how I watch television.
Yeah, you can't talk.
No. Mm-hmm.
You can't. So he follows the comic book, and the plot has been following the comic book to a degree, 100%.
They like to mix it up. So in the comic books, it was Abraham that got the arrow through his head, and in the comic books, Glenn was the only one to die, and then they put Abraham. So they do like to do that, and I read the comic books now as well, and I really enjoy that aspect of it because it means that the comic book readers can watch it as well, and they don't know exactly what's going to happen, and there are little Easter eggs that are dropped in here and there, and they like to change it up, which keeps it fresh and interesting and surprising for the comic book readers. Yeah,
your story. We had Ross Marquand. I told you in on Friday.
Right.
Who plays Aaron. So his story was, from episode one, he was glued to the show. He never missed it. It was one of his favorite TV shows. But you're the exact opposite. You had never seen an episode, right, prior to being cast?
I had watched the pilot because I was friendly with Andrew Lincoln before. And we worked together and we're from the same city. And actually, I had just done a job. I was on an HBO show called Luck years ago. And I had used a dialect coach on that. And she went from working with me to working with Andy for the pilot of Walking Dead. And so I was like, oh, hi, say hi to Andy. And who knew 7 years later I'd be on the show as well. So I watched the pilot. But then, no, I mean, I don't tend to watch a huge amount of TV, actually. But I caught up eventually because I was cast and on set like within a week. And it's like 7 years of TV show to watch and 150 comic books to read. So I just put my faith in Scott Gimple, who's the showrunner, my director of that episode, Kari, and Robert Kirkman, because also the character from the comic books is slightly different to the one in the show. And so I just had to go with what was on the page. But what made it difficult also is that the character that you meet in the first episode isn't really being himself either.
Mm-hmm.
He's like meeting Rick and Daryl and playing a bit of an act and... So that was really tough. So I was kind of flying by the seat of my pants for that first episode. I'll freely admit. I was like, okay, guys, you want me to run around this field? Okay, cool. Like, amazing. Just please, like, let me know if I'm doing anything wrong. And I actually, like, partly by choice and partly by just not being offered anything, I hadn't worked in about a year before I started on the job. And my first day when I jump up in front of Rick and Daryl, I'm like, hey, and I was shouting a little bit because I was a little bit overexcited and hadn't been on camera for a bit. And I was like, hey, the director was like, Tom, just turn it down a little bit. I was like, God, what am I doing? I've been doing this job for a long time now. But I just got a bit excited.
Sure.
I was like, hey, I'm on this show and this is Norman and this is Andy and I'm in the middle of Atlanta, Georgia. I did feel quite fake because I had the extensions in and the fake beard on. And
there's a lot going
the big
on.
Coat, there was a lot going on. And so then I just forgot how to speak on camera.
Now you say in Atlanta where you guys film, there are a lot of fans that come up and look, and you guys are so awesome to your fans. Seriously,
I think that's one of the most amazing things about the show. One of the best things about the show is that it really is, you know, a Walking Dead family, and the fans are a big part of the show. And so I was just in Chicago for this Walker Stalker Fan Fest event, where we had 17,000 people came on Saturday, and I think 11 on Sunday, and
11,000 or just 11?
That would be 11,000.
That's 11, quite 000. A downturn.
Big drop off.
And it's amazing. Like they come up and meet you and say hi, and I've hugged like thousands of people this weekend and signed a bunch of autographs, and we do Q&As and everything. And there aren't that many shows that do that. You can't be in contact with your favorite actors from your favorite show in that way. So it's an amazing thing, and it brings everyone closer together, and they really feel part of the whole experience. And we feel that they are as well. And we know, I mean, the show wouldn't be on if the audience wasn't watching it. So it's amazing that we have that opportunity to connect with fans in that way.
And Chris Hardwick does a great job with that,
amazing.
Talking Dead, because as a fan of a show, Bill, you know, you majored in film, you've been in some films yourself, and so to you, it's not that exciting maybe to see the directors. I love being able to see the showrunner and see it's seem so approachable. Chris Hardwick does a great job with that, where we all do feel part of the family.
Yeah, well, he's like geeks out as well.
Oh,
like,
totally.
He's a big fan
love
of the
it.
Show, and so he loves it and loves meeting everyone. I don't think Chris can believe his luck nowadays. Like, he gets to do all this cool stuff with all these people that he loves from all his favorite TV shows. I love that as well. I love seeing behind the scenes. I'm a DVD extra kind of person. If I like a show or a movie, then I love seeing behind the scenes. And I watched The Talking Dead last night, and they have, you know, the behind the scenes little things that happened. And it's kind of funny now, because I go, I knew that. I knew that before. And that's another really fun part of the show is, like, you know, we get the scripts before everyone else. And like, there's 10 days per episode, including the weekend. So we don't have to, you know, wait the same amount of time, and we get the scripts. It's amazing.
Nice
Super
perk.
Exciting.
Tom Payne is here. He plays Jesus on Walking Dead. If you have a question or comment, we're at 312-981-7200. More in a moment. Bill and Wendy, WGN. They should play this every time your character makes an
exit. Absolutely. Extra. I'm always looking for new Jesus songs.
Doobie Brothers. Good one, Kevin.
Tom Payne is here. He plays Jesus on The Walking Dead on AMC's hit The Walking Dead. What do you make of what goes on the internet, all the speculation about every character, about every nuance on the show? Are you a fan of that or not a fan of that?
I mean, I'm a big internet geek as well, so I love all the memes and pictures and fan art and everything that comes up. I think it's really, great. It's another... you know, it shows how involved the fans are. It's another whole thing that exists outside of the show, which is amazing.
Yeah.
It is pretty incredible. I got to tell you, I thought you and Maggie were going to hook up, and then I realized that maybe you weren't into Maggie.
No. Well,
Spoiler alert. As a friend. Yeah, exactly.
But that was another thing. That is from the comic books, actually. And I had said in previous interviews before it was confirmed that, like, well, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be. And, you know, because, there isn't any reason why it wouldn't be. So that was so great how they handled that as well. It was just a moment where it was just a conversation that they were having. And it was just a way of him telling her something to reveal himself a bit more in deepening their friendship, you know, which was really nice. It wasn't like, hey, check me out. Let's have a party.
You weren't beat over the head with it. It was just a common.
No, it's great.
See, that's what's so cool, is a show that can be so loud and blatant can also be so subtle anytime it wants to be.
Yeah. I mean, it needs those ups and downs and lights and darks to work. I know that some people have been frustrated with the way that Rick's been beaten down this season, and it's been quite a, you know, hard season in a lot of ways, but you need that. You know, they can't just go kick ass every episode. And I mean, they've been pretty much doing that for years now.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that power balance change. Because that's real. That's much more real than them being superheroes going around winning all the time.
Right, you know? Right.
We needed to see Rick get broken down. I mean, at the beginning, it was like, you know, Rick's got all this together. And then it was really heartbreaking to see how he was beaten down.
Andy did such an amazing job that first episode. I mean, it's really amazing that he hasn't really had as much recognition as he should have had, I don't think, for the work that he does on the show. And especially that first episode was pretty amazing.
I still think he was beaten down more in Love Actually, but that's just me.
Emotionally,
was.
Did you see? I haven't seen it yet. Did you see the comic relief sketch that came out?
I saw the preview of, because I don't think they've shown the whole sketch yet.
Oh, they
haven't shown the preview
with everyone holding the cards. Right?
Yeah, it's really funny.
And Negan is, you know, I go back and forth with Negan. Like, it kills me that he does really have a moral compass, his own.
Yeah, yeah.
He does have laws and rules that you need to obey.
Yeah.
he is playing that so unbelievably well.
And don't forget, Rick's group went and killed 40 of his guys in their sleep. It's like, well, you know, and then so then he killed two of their guys, and it's just because we know Rick's group better than Negan's group that we care, you know. So that's another interesting part of the show. It's like, you know, if you followed Negan's group from the beginning, then you might be more sympathetic to them. And what's Negan's story, and why is the bat called Lucille, and like, where does it come from? You know, it's like there's. It asks questions of you if you want to get involved in that conversation. I think I know a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
They just want to go, it's Rick's group. Like, we're with Rick's group. But yeah, Jeffrey's playing that part amazingly. It needed that. Like, in the comic books, he's in between. He's that guy who you love to hate kind of thing. You know, you're reading his dialogue and it's making you laugh at the same time as being really awful. I mean, I feel for Jeffrey because he has pages and pages of dialogue he has to say, and so from an acting point of view, I'm like, well, I'm kind of happy that I'm not, you know, because that's a lot of work. Like, sure. We work quite long days, and he gets these reams of dialogue. I think what he did in the finale was kind of amazing. Like, he turned up on a show and did 10 pages of dialogue and killed a couple of main characters on the show. And he's got all of the leads in the show in floods of tears. And, it's not, and I mean, you've got to be that guy who comes in. And that was really tough. And I think he did a great job there. Yeah.
So when fans encounter him, like when they encounter you, you're a good guy and they want to hug you and they love you. But when you're such a bad character, do the fans still love him, or is it a guarded kind of a love?
Well, actually, I mean, he's the big hit at all of the conventions. Like,
really?
People still, it's, you know, him and Norman obviously been around for a long time, and Andy. But yeah, I mean, Jeffrey's come in and everyone, you know, loves to hate him and poses with him with the bat. The guy that gets the hardest time is Xander, actually, who plays Gregory, because, you know, he seemingly doesn't have that many redeemable
qualities
on the show.
I want to punch him so badly.
I know, it's so sad because, like, you know, he's Xander's so lovely and awesome. And
they should set up a punching booth at any fan convention where fans just get to take a swat at him.
That would be so depressing.
But we liked him at first. We thought he had everything taken care of, and then it's...
I mean, he raises the point, which is very true, that, you know, lots of people talk about how, well, I would be like this and I would be like that. But actually, you don't know what you would be like. And he's just a bit cowardly, and, like, he's...
That would be me.
You know, trying to figure out...
I would, right away, I would just lay down and say, go ahead, walk or bite me. I'm done.
A quick exit.
But then also you've got Eugene, Josh's character, who's like, what's he doing now? And it's all people dealing with the situation in different ways at the moment. And Sasha and Rosita, and everyone's trying to, you know, work it out the best way that they think.
We only have a minute, but I'm curious. I know you have a younger brother who's also an actor. Mm-hmm. What's that relationship like right now? Is there a rivalry? Are you happy for each other?
You know,
you're both doing well.
If I'm honest, it was tough at first.
Was it?
I was like, oh, wow, this is my territory. Like, what's going on? This is my deal. But actually, no, it's wonderful now. And I'm very supportive. And he came out. He was just out in LA with me and meeting agents and managers and auditioning and stuff. And we're very different at the end of the day. Like, there's just that weird sibling thing that you will always have. But actually now we're just a bit older now, basically, and everything's awesome. And I'm really, really happy for him. Yeah.
Such a pleasure to meet you. Such a fan of the show. Cannot wait till next week with the extended season finale. Looking so forward to it.
Thank you.
Bless you, Jesus.
Wow. She turned the tables on you.
Wow.
That's Tom Payne, everybody. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.